Vista Baptist Church, family, and friends. This is strange for me. I don't do vlogs. But with the circumstances as they are, and as you have likely heard, we have canceled our gatherings all the way until April 1st, and we'll be continuing to review and research and think through the situation as we proceed to that date. But right now, what I want to do in this video is draw your attention away from these strange times that we're living in, these anxious times, these times that can easily make you break, and draw your attention to God as He has revealed Himself in His Word. If you've been coming to Vista Baptist and gathering on Wednesday nights, you'll know that ever since I've been here, I've been going through the book of Psalms. So, as we are unable to gather together, however many Wednesdays that is, however many Sundays that is, every Wednesday night, I plan to post a video coming from the book of Psalms. And the book of Psalms, they are Spirit-inspired prayers that ultimately direct our attention to God as our rock, as our refuge. It directs our attention ultimately to God the Son incarnate, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll see that even a little bit in the psalm that we look at in this video. But my hope here is not to replace the corporate gathering that we do on Wednesday night. And when I attempt to live stream Sunday or post a video of me actually preaching to an empty sanctuary, my hope is not to replace our gathering together. That is a unique time, a time and an event and a rhythm that God has put in place for our spiritual benefit, to come under and enjoy the ordinary means of grace that He has provided, that our faith might be either initiated or strengthened and encouraged, and that we might all be mutually, as a body of believers who have covenanted together, be grown up into the likeness of God's Son, Jesus. So my hope for this video is not so much that it would replace or even fully supplement what is going on, but it is a feeble attempt, and my feeble attempt, to try and help us stay together even when the circumstances make it wise for us to keep physical distance. So, with that in mind, if you have a copy of God's Word, I ask that you would turn to Psalm 95. Again, as Psalm 95, we'll be looking at the whole chapter in our time together. And as you turn there, I'm going to go ahead and pray and ask that God would bless our time, that He would bless these videos, and that He would use them, as feeble as they are, as unlike the corporate gatherings as they are, to edify you and your family, as well as the rest of our church family and whoever else may be watching these. So if you would, pray with me. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this opportunity to study Your Word with whichever and whoever has decided to take the time to watch and listen to this video. God, I pray that You would bless this time, that You would bless this study in Your Word to the effect that it would bring us mutual encouragement, that it would guide our mind's attention and our heart's affection to the Lord Jesus, who is our hope in both life and in death. We pray this in His name. Amen. Now, Psalm 95, we'll go ahead and read it from beginning to end. Here's what the psalmist records. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountain are also his. The sea is his, for he made it. And his hand formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God. We are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day at Massah in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people who go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Therefore I swore my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. The big idea of this psalm, as with many of them in our journey together, is praise Yahweh. Praise the God of the Bible, the covenant Lord, the one who revealed himself to Adam in the garden, who made a covenant with him, the one who covenanted with Israel, and the one who became flesh, God the Son incarnate, Yahweh in the flesh. We are to praise this glorious God. And the psalmist provides us with two reasons. Number one, praise Yahweh because he is the great God. Look again with me at verses 1 through 5. We'll walk through it together, or I'll walk you through it. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. The psalmist is calling upon the congregation. And God, through the psalmist, is calling upon us now, even though we cannot assemble together, to praise Yahweh, to praise God, to make a joyful noise to him. It describes God as the rock of our salvation. A rock is something that is sturdy, something that doesn't move. As we have learned in recent days, there aren't many things that we as human beings erect or attempt that are sturdy, that are steadfast, that are stable. But Yahweh, he is the rock of our salvation. He does not shake. He cannot be moved. As we continue, the psalmist says, let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. One of the things that I'm going to miss most in not gathering together is singing with my church family. To hear the songs reverberate off the walls, to hear people behind me, as well as at times people in front of me, making these joyful noises to Yahweh, noises that he is worthy of. And then in verse 3, the psalmist gives us the first reason why we ought to praise God, and it is because he is the great God. Look there, it says, for the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. He is great. He is majestic. He is over and above all things. He is holy and transcendent. There is none who are like him. The idols of the ancient Near East, during the time in which this psalm was written, the pagan deities and pantheons that have arisen throughout the ages, all these false gods, even as elevated as they may seem in the conceptions of men who worship them, they pale in comparison to the one true God, to the great God, to the great King. He is the ruler of all. He is the ever-reigning King. There is no one, no demon, no angel, no human, no government, no virus. There is nothing that challenges God on his throne. There is nothing that can dethrone the true king, which is good news for us who worship him. The psalmist continues in verse 4 and 5 saying this, "In his hand are the depths of the earth, the heights of the mountains are also his, the sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land." God created everything, and he sustains everything by his providence. All things were made through him, talking about Jesus, and for him, and all things hold together in him. He has made everything. It all belongs to him. And as the maker of everything, he is in control of everything. He has authority over everything. He has authority over every molecule in existence. Yahweh still is in the heavens and does whatever he pleases. Yahweh is still in control, and he brings both blessing and curses. Yahweh is still in control, even amid this trialsome and strange time. And let us be reminded, as we read and watch the news, as we hear of deaths overseas, and even quite likely we'll begin to be hearing of more here, let us remember that we as God's people still have every reason not to panic, because the God who we worship, he is the great God. He is worthy of our praise, even in hardship. Even when our circumstances are changing, he never changes. Which leads us to this next point, and it's very much like the first one. The first one being, praise Yahweh because he is the great God. The second one is not so clever, but I believe it communicates this next portion of the psalm, verses 6 through 11. And that is, praise Yahweh because he is your great God. Praise Yahweh because he is your great God. Do you notice the subtle difference there? The psalmist personalizes the God who he has just described in verses 1 through 5, pronouncing to the people that he is their God. And in doing so, he's going to call them to listen to him. That is, listen to Yahweh. But let's just look at this passage. Let's just walk through verses 6 through 11. Psalmist writes, "O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." Again, he's calling them to worship. He's calling us collectively to worship. Whose God is he? He describes him as our Maker. And then in verse 7, "For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand." If you are in Christ, you not only have fellowship with other Christians, you do, but you are brought into the very fellowship of the triune God. You are brought into communion with God by the power of the Holy Ghost in union with Christ. You are joined with God and united to him. He is your God, and you are a part of his people. This God who is described in verses 1 through 5 as being the great God, as the one who has all these things, all of the created order in his hands, he is your God. And as your God, he is worthy of your praise. See, I like to call upon Job so often in my sermon, so often as we think about suffering and how to navigate suffering. And Job is a grand example for us in that he was able, by God's grace, to praise Yahweh both when he gave and took away. He was able to bless the name of the Lord. Now, as we consider the rest of this passage, the psalmist is going to call upon his original audience and call upon us, that is, God through the psalmist, is going to call upon us to hear our God and respond to him appropriately. Look there in verse 7 at the end. It says, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as at Meribah, as on the day at Massa in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work." The psalmist draws upon the wilderness generation in Israel's history, where they doubted God and thus were not granted entry into the promised land and wandered around. And while they were wandering in the wilderness, they grumbled continually against Yahweh. And these were the people, many of whom experienced the great redemption that God had accomplished on their behalf from bondage and slavery to Egypt. They had seen God bring the most powerful of kings to his knees. They had been freed from slavery. They had been protected from death. And yet, even seeing all that, even witnessing the cloud, the thunder come down upon Mount Sinai, even hearing the law of the Lord as well as the promises of God and seeing all the miracles and wonders, they rejected his voice and they doubted him. They put him to the test. And God says in verse 10, "For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, there are people who go astray in their hearts. They have not known my ways. Therefore I swore my wrath. They shall not enter my rest." The psalmist, in essence, and God through the psalmist, is calling us to respond in a way differently than that of the wilderness generation. Rather than doubt, we should respond with faith. For we ourselves, who have called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who have cleaved to him, have been redeemed from the bondage of sin and slavery to death. We have been brought through the waters, and he is guiding us to that eternal inheritance, that heavenly Jerusalem, the land for which Abraham looked forward to and yet did not reach in his life. It is Christ Jesus, God the Son incarnate, who in his incarnation, in his holy life, in his death and burial and resurrection and ascension and return, who will bring us to that promised land. It is he who will wipe the tears from our eyes. It is he who will deliver us from death, who will raise us on the last day, so we may have confidence, even in times like this, even in times of turmoil, even in times of confusion, even when we cannot gather together. We can rest assured that the God that we worship, the God who is your God and my God, through our union with the Lord Jesus Christ, that he won't fail to do what he has promised. And we have hope in both life and in death. So my encouragement to you this Wednesday, or whatever day you are watching this, is to praise Yahweh, to take time with your family, to pray together, to offer up praises to God for His greatness, for His sovereignty, for His creation, for His redemption. I encourage you to read Scripture together. I encourage you to pray for folks like me who are trying to help navigate you through this, especially from the spiritual component. Pray for your leaders. Pray for those, for medical practitioners and all those. Pray for small business owners and all that are going to go through the great trials in the days ahead. But in your prayer, don't only make petitions and supplications. Don't only offer up requests. But also, voice praises to the great God who is worthy of them, to the God who, by His grace and mercy, has covenanted with you in His Son, Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Praise God for that, that He is not only great, but that He is also your God and your Redeemer. May God bless you. May He bless you in this time. And if you need anything from me, private message me on Facebook, give me your number and email address so that we can stay in touch. I would greatly appreciate that, and I would love to serve you in any way that I can. But what you can for sure be expecting is more videos like this, regular updates on what we will be doing and what we won't be doing, as well as on Sunday, you can expect that I will either be live streaming a sermon if I can get it to work with the speed of internet that we have, or I will be posting up a sermon of me preaching in the sanctuary. May God give us a greater appreciation for gathering together in this time, so that when we are able to, it will be a celebration like we haven't had on the Lord's Day in a long, long time. May God bless you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for those who have listened to this. God, use it. Use it for their betterment. Use it for their spiritual benefit. Grow them through it. God, you are a great God, the great God, who is worthy of praise. May we not ignore your voice. May we instead continue to cleave to your Son in faith, trusting him. God, we do lift up this situation to you, trusting in your goodness, in your wisdom, in your purpose, knowing that we have both hope in life and in death in your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray this in His name. Amen.